Just when you thought the Jets had reached rock bottom, there was Sunday. And to talk about the Jets debacle, we bring in Brian Costello from the New York Post. The Brian Costello Report is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by Van Buren Buick GMC in Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, by CSEA Local 830. We work for you. And by Play Sugar House. Legal sports betting is here. Check it out at playsugarhouse.com. $250 deposit match on your first deposit. Maybe the Jets, maybe that was it. Maybe they were out like sports betting or something, but Brian, it did not look like anybody showed up to play football today for the New York Jets. And let's start with a term that I hate when it comes to football, because these guys are out there, you know, I mean, to say they're putting their lives on the line, but they certainly their physical health on the line every time they step between the lines. So I hate using this term, but do we use the word quit here, or did they just not show up? What word do you use to describe the effort and energy that the Jets put forth against the Bills?
Yeah, I don't think they quit. You know, I think they didn't show up. You know, I don't know if it's maybe they looked at this game and saw Matt Barkley and saw the Bills offense the way it's been for the last 2 weeks and thought, you know, they could just show up and they'd win this game, especially from the defensive side of the ball for the Jets, because the Bills' defense is actually pretty good. I think they might be rising to number one in the league now after today's performance in terms of yardage allowed in games. But the Bills' offense has been terrible. They entered the game 31st in the league, and I think the defense kind of felt pretty good about itself after the game in Miami last week, and it looked to me like maybe they didn't take this offense completely seriously, and before you knew it, they were down 14-0, and then they were down 31-0 when you blinked again. So it just sort of got away from them so fast that, to me, it wasn't really quitting. It was more just they just came out flat and maybe overlooked this opponent.
Now, after last week's game, you and I spoke, and I was on the air here and said, I thought last week was the game that I felt like Todd Bowles lost his job in terms of, and the coaching staff after the season. Because for me, the season's being measured on how Sam Darnold progresses, and he regressed. He got worse last week. He didn't look very good. He'll bounce back. But I thought, you know what? That's it. I've made kind of the call myself on Bowles at the end of the season. And then there was today. And when the players look like they're not giving forth, you know, it's just, it's a not show up game. It's an overlook game. It's all those things where this team is better than this team is better than the effort. You know, three penalties on one play. You know, there were things going on today that they looked unprepared for as a team and just didn't show up. So, you know, do we, I know we overreact, it's overreaction, it's talk radio, but is it possible that, forget waiting until the end of the season, is it possible that Todd Bowles actually, with a bye coming up, this was a terrible time for him, is it possible that he actually gets fired as early as tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's possible, and I would have given you a different answer if we talked yesterday. I didn't think a mid-season change was in the cards, because
nor did I.
The Jets haven't done it since 1975. They haven't fired a coach at mid-season. So, yeah, it's been a long time. Rich Kotite coached till the end of the season. So it's been a long time, and in football, I think it's a lot different than the other sports where a midstream change could maybe spark something for a team, like in baseball or basketball. I don't think it really does anything for you in football in terms of sparking something from your team. But that game Sunday is the type of game that gets a coach fired. You know, they came out, we talked about how they looked, whether you want to question the effort or not, it looked bad. And then you look at just what the Bills were playing with. You know, Matt Barkley is their fourth quarterback this season. And he's a guy who they signed on Halloween. He's been there for 2 weeks, and he's not a guy who has a great pedigree to begin with in this league. He had one win coming into today, and what he was able to do against the Jets. And then there's a wide receiver named Robert Foster who comes out and has a 47-yard catch on the first play.
He's off the practice squad.
yesterday.
Yeah.
They signed him yesterday off the practice squad. And, you know, if you and I were looking up, who the heck is Robert Foster?
Right.
Christopher Johnson was probably saying, who the heck is this guy? It's, you know, it wasn't Kelvin Benjamin killing them. Then they score a tackle eligible. They make they convert a fake punt. Like you mentioned, they get three holding calls on one play.
And even something like the fake punt as an example. Look, Logan Thomas, I might have to look up who Robert Foster is, but Logan Thomas, off the top of my head, I know that name. I remember that Logan Thomas was supposed to be a quarterback in this league and then just wasn't able to cut it, so has been converted now to, you know, tight end, receiver, you know, receiving tight end, whatever it is. But I know that. So if I know that, if he's in there, on there, you at least have to be watching for it. No, the Jets looked completely caught off guard.
Totally. Yeah, he was wide open. And that was Robert Foster again.
That's right. Robert Jerry Rice Foster. But you know what? So then that leads, you mentioned Christopher Johnson, the Jets owner. And if, well, let's start there. You know, reaction from this. This also, it's one thing, as terrible as a stinker like this would be against an atrocious opponent like supposedly like the Bills, but in your home building in front of your booing, unhappy home fans, what was Christopher Johnson's reaction after the game?
Well, I waited for him. I went down with about 10 minutes left and waited in the tunnel. And when he came down, he wouldn't answer my questions. I asked, you know, are you considering a coaching change? And, you know, he did not look very happy, but he would not answer anything right then. You know, I don't think he wanted to add any fuel to the fire by saying anything publicly. And maybe he just, you know, maybe he's still weighing his decision. I was right. The game was actually still going on when I asked him the question. So, you know, I kind of understand that. But, you know, like we said, this is the type of game that gets a coach fired. So I think Christopher has to be weighing that. And, you know, to me right now, like I said, I don't think it does anything for them this season. They make a change right now, and I don't necessarily think they have the greatest candidates in the building to be an interim head coach. But like you said, there's from this fan base today and all the boos, this would be kind of a feel-good move for the fan base, I think. I think this would be saying, I'm listening to you. I hear you. I know you're not happy. We're with you. We're not happy either. We're going to make a change. It would almost be for the sake of the fans. I think they'd be doing it if they do it this week instead of waiting until the end of the season.
Talking to Brian Costello from the New York Post about the Jets. And, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs when it's a feel-good story for the fans when a man is, you know, would be losing his job. That's not something, you know, I would say it's not something that gives me pleasure when I get to the point of doing that and having that this type of conversation on the air. But I understand what you're saying about that, you know, it doesn't fire up a team. And usually I feel like, especially with a young team like the Jets, well, let's start there. Okay, so you're laying out some of the cons for it. Can you see positives with this current Jets team to making a change besides the fans? Is there some way where you
in season
there's, you know, you look at a team, I guess, is it a situation like the Cleveland Browns where there was so much infighting it was a distraction?
Yeah,
they thought it was a detriment to their rookie quarterback?
No, there's not a toxic culture in the Jets building right now. That's what the Browns were dealing with. This is different. I don't get any sense that any of that is going on. I'm sure there's some very unhappy people with the losing, and there might be some tension there, but I haven't heard anything about, like, what was going on with Cleveland. So I don't see any football reasons to make this move in season, other to make a message of accountability. And, you know, maybe if they feel like they've already made the decision that they're going to move on from Todd Bowles at the end of the season, maybe there's a thought of, why are we delaying this? You know, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go. And you know, the one reason you kind of do it in season, this is still a little early for this even, is if you're considering hiring a college coach, you can get a jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, NFL coaches, you can't talk to until their season is over. College coaches, you can start talking to, especially the time between the regular season and the bowl games start. So that would be a few weeks away still. But I remember the Texans did that. They wanted Bill O'Brien when he was at Penn State, and they kind of made the move early because they knew they wanted Bill O'Brien. So that would be one reason to do it football-wise. But that's, again, we're still early for that even. And to your point about Todd Bowles and not being happy about this, I'm with you. Like, Todd is a really good guy, and I know fans don't want to hear that right now. he's a good man though, and he's got a family, and it's hard to see talk about anyone losing their job like this. But right. It's clearly, you know, it's part of the business. He understands that. He said it today. It comes with the business, you know. So it's unfortunate though.
As we look at, you know, if the Jets, if ownership were to decide to make an in-season change, and you and I have had this conversation before, and initial gut from both of us was that there aren't necessarily obvious or great options internally on the Jets coaching staff. And usually there's an obvious offensive, defensive coordinator, maybe even someone running special teams that you say, all right, that person, it would be, that person potentially. On the Jets, when you look at that, those three guys, to me, definitely not. Now, when I look for, though, I was looking around and digging a little deeper today across the Jets assistant coaches, and some names that potentially pop up, whether that have enough experience in the league or based on their roles, whether that's a Rick Dennison, a Carl Durrell, or even, you know, there's like sort of a people's choice I've heard from Jets fans because he was a fiery player, a Kevin Green. Can you give me a sense? Yeah. You're around the team all the time. Any of these guys, in your opinion, I'll even throw in, you know, there's Mike Caldwell, the assistant head coach, inside linebackers coach. Any of these guys that you look at and say, all right, there's a potential interim head coach there?
Carl Durrell, to me, is the best candidate. Carl was the head coach at UCLA for five seasons. Fans might remember mid-2000s. He went to five straight bowl games, actually, with UCLA. They weren't bad. But he got fired there, and he's got he just has some really good leadership qualities to him, and I think the public aspect of the job, fans would like seeing him. I think he'd be good in front of the team in that regard. I think it would be difficult for Carl. He's very tight with Todd. You know, they coached together in Miami. They've known each other for a long time, but, you know, that kind of happens. You know, we saw it in Buffalo when Rex Ryan got fired there and Anthony Lynn had to take over. Anthony Lynn had been his longtime assistant, and Todd Bowles went through it in Miami when he took over for Tony Sperano there. But, you know, Rick Dennison has been around a long time. You know, Rick has only been with the Jets a shorter time, though. That just came on this year, so I'm not sure. Ownership maybe doesn't have as good a feel for him as they have for a guy like Carl. Mike Caldwell is the assistant head coach. Now, he's Todd's, like, right-hand man. He came with Todd from Arizona. That was he came with him. So, you know, I'm not sure how that would work. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work.
And how about Kevin Green?
Kevin Green, you know, I great, obviously, Hall of Fame player. I just don't know if he'd be great for some of the other aspects of the job. I think he's a good teacher for the outside linebackers, but I'm just not sure if he's head coach kind of material. With Carl Durrell, too, I remember Brandon Marshall, when he was with the Jets, was always talking about how he thought Carl could be a head coach in the NFL. So he's the one, to me, that would probably be the top candidate if they went that way.
Let me ask you something else I don't think the Jets would necessarily do, but if they, you know, put the defense obviously was horrendous today, but they haven't been so bad over the course of the season. If they said Todd Bowles is a good man, and for now we don't want to embarrass him and do this, and we don't see a benefit to getting rid of him, but the offense has been consistently poor, Sam Darnold regressing, and, you know, the offense got out-coached today with a Josh McCown against the journeyman, like, so badly. Any potential of elevating a Carl Durrell as to quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, and saying, you know what, we give the fans something here, we get rid of Bates as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's a scenario I could see happening because it feels like something has to happen tomorrow, right? Like, it just kind of feels like they need to – somebody needs to be thrown overboard.
This was gruesome.
Put it frankly.
It was a gruesome loss.
Yeah, this was a loss that feels like someone's head has to roll. And so, yeah, if they wanted to do that with Bates, yeah, I could see that. You know, the weird thing is right now they don't have a quarterback's coach because Bates kind of does both jobs, and you do have Darnold to consider. So you do that to Darnold, you know, that's a complicated decision too.
But you could also look at it and say, you know, maybe this is something where maybe he makes progress under a guy like Durrell, who does have a track record working with quarterbacks and calling offenses.
The other aspect I'd throw in is you have Josh McCown, who is sort of a pseudo quarterback coach.
Yep.
You know, when he's not playing. So That would help matters as well, and maybe they would feel like that. But yeah, that's a scenario I could see, because Bates just, you know, they haven't done nothing.
Week after week
now, it feels like. And, you know, you can't blame a rookie quarterback today for any problems.
Right. All right. Real quick before I let you go, is one of my followers on Twitter wanted to ask you the question about the GM, Mike Maccagnan. How much of this is this season is on the, you know, players and coach, and how much of this also is a referendum on the general manager?
It definitely falls on him too, and he gets overlooked. It's a good point. You know, I thought these receivers, right? The receivers have just been terrible in recent weeks, and he drafted two wide receivers last year, and neither one of them is in the NFL right now. And that, to me, just keeps jumping out at me, is like, these guys should be the ones who are lifting this team up right now, and they're not. And I think he's had some very good picks in the first rounds. Jamal Adams, I think, is going to be a very, very good player. Leonard Williams, I think, is a good player. Sam Darnold, obviously, has potential. But it's been the later rounds. He just really hasn't found those guys and this roster. And then his free agent signings haven't been great. You know, I mean, Tremaine Johnson, the first play of the game, gets beat by Foster, $72 million man getting beat by an undrafted free agent doesn't look good. So Maccagnan definitely bears some blame in this. I think I tend to give him a longer leash, just because with the GM, you know, if you're going to pull that plug, then you're really blowing up the entire roster again and starting over. And I'm not sure if the Jets want to do that yet.
All right. Apparently, Maccagnan should have drafted Deion Dawkins, the tackle, offensive tackle from the Bills, who caught a touchdown pass today. All right. Always appreciate the time and you staying up with us, Brian Costello. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Lori.